I was in my car. It was pretty late in the night.
There was a male over the phone screaming at 911.
My wife, she shot herself.
Right when I pull into the driveway, the front door opens.
Over here, come on.
And a man walks out of the house. Screaming, crying, yelling.
Oh my God.
Just overall kind of freaking out.
It was a gunshot. I was downstairs. Okay. TV gone.
Okay, well, where's she at?
Upstairs in the bathroom.
They found Kendi upstairs in a bathroom with the tub full of water. Sir, what's your first name?
Dan.
Dan?
Kendi was just so funny and nice. We just clicked and never stopped clicking.
Dan and Kendi were great neighbors. We all became friends, you know, being neighbors, small town. Everybody, you know, barbecues and hanging out together.
She wanted to just love life, and she loved life.
She's in the bathtub.
And she was in that tub of water with a gunshot wound to her head, and the gun was still in the water of the bathtub.
Did something strike you about that scene?
Certainly. We have broken glass here. We have some of her clothing on the opposite side of the bed thrown on the floor. We have wet towels behind the door.
Are you asking yourself, that means what?
From the beginnings, it looks odd.
Dan Howard worked as a Idaho State Police trooper. Dan knows things that most normal people, ordinary people, don't know.
Things like what?
Things like killing someone and staging it to look like a suicide.
Dan thought he was smarter than everybody else, smart enough to trick everybody. And in the end, that's what he did.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm so lost and confused because Dan's not arrested.
I really did think that he would get away with it.
Peter Van Sant reports the bathtub murder of Kendi Howard.
What's going on?
Sir, they have to do their job.
This is their scene now.
Send in medical.
Kootenai County Sheriff's Deputy Miranda Thomas will never forget coming face to face with a distraught Dan Howard, a former state trooper, at his home in northern Idaho on a cold winter's morning in February 2021.
Oh, damn it! Oh my God.
He would scream and yell, but there were no tears in his eyes at any point. He would act like he was gagging, but nothing would ever actually happen.
Deputy Thomas was one of the first responders to Dan's home, a place he shared with his wife of 26 years, Kendi.
Dan, I know this is hard, but when is the last time that you saw your wife alive?
Dan, do you want medical to look at you at all?
No.
Okay.
Dan Howard told police he discovered his wife in the bathtub. He said she had shot herself in the head. Kendi's own pistol was at the bottom of the tub in murky water.
Secure the scene, don't touch anything.
Okay.
Kootenai County Sheriff's Detective Jerry Northrup,
when you look at,
arrived before midnight.
Were you dispatched to a possible suicide?
Yes, sir. It was identified as a suicide.
Northrop immediately began analyzing what was before him.
For a woman to shoot herself in the tub nude is unusual. It doesn't mean it can't happen, it just means that it's unusual.
Northrop, a crime scene expert, says something was missing from this death scene, especially considering Kendi had suffered a head wound.
There would be a lot more blood that was produced, and I just didn't see that on her face, on her body, or in the tub.
Deputy Thomas also saw some curious things.
I went into the house and found a packed duffel bag. Was someone planning on leaving the house?
In the laundry room, the dryer was running, full of clean bath towels and mats.
Having a dryer running at midnight, very odd, because I don't do laundry at midnight. Sure, you could, but...
And despite the shock of finding his wife dead, Dan Howard appeared to have recently showered, changed his clothes, and applied fresh deodorant.
And you can tell that he's got deodorant lines on his t-shirt.
Did something seem suicide-like to you?
Certainly. There was no other signs of, like, a suicide note.
It's often standard procedure to check people at a shooting scene for GSR, gunshot residue. And as a former state trooper, Dan Howard would know that. Yet Detective Northrop says Howard was uneasy about being tested.
Mr. Howard stuck his hands into his coat pockets. And then he began twisting him to and fro, back and forth repeatedly, until we told him to stop and remove his hands.
Back and forth as if he's trying to wipe something off?
Yes, that was the impression that we were getting.
What was the result?
It was negative.
It was negative.
Even though detectives were suspicious of all those little pieces of evidence that didn't seem to add up, they could not rule out the possibility that Kendi could have taken her own life. Kendi's sudden passing stunned those who loved her.
She loved life. I have never had so much fun with somebody. No care in the world.
Michelle Lampert was one of Kendi's best friends. That's Kendi kneeboarding with Michelle in northern Idaho.
She always laughed. My favorite is spin class and then to the brewery. Nothing like spin class and brewery, but she felt like that was okay.
She was a great mom.
Brooke Wilkins is Kendi's daughter from an earlier relationship.
Tell me about your mom. She just seems really special.
She was. She had a big personality. She was happy to talk to anyone and make a friend and joke around.
Kendi was a small town girl from northern Idaho. Sporty and outdoorsy, says her brother Brian.
She rode her horse a lot, had sheep for 4-H, and, well, she had a goat, too, at the same time.
Kendi was just 22 when she married the former Marine turned Idaho State Trooper, Dan Howard. He was 6 years older.
Did she talk about the attraction?
She did think he was very handsome, and I think the sense of security is a topic that was brought up quite a bit.
Dan and Kendi settled on 10 acres in the town of Athol, just a speck on the map, 21 miles north of Coeur d'Alene. They had a son together, Wyatt. Like his dad, he became a Marine. A neighbor, Carrie Maitland, says Dan and Kendi's marriage seemed strong.
They were affectionate towards each other, and they were generally respectful to each other.
Kendi worked at a local medical center. During 26 years of marriage, they made good money in real estate in this fast-growing state. By the time of Kendi's death, the couple had more than $2 million in assets. And yet, money created friction between them.
Her money was his money, and his money was his money. He never wanted to spend money.
And there was more friction in the marriage, according to friends. After Dan, working as a trooper for the Idaho State Police, shot and killed a woman during a traffic stop. Dan was cleared of all wrongdoing, but the incident took its toll on Kendi.
I do believe she did become depressed.
Years later, Dan would leave the state police.
And things kind of changed between them.
Kendi's brother Brian helped Dan find work on the North Slope, the oil fields of Alaska. He'd work 3 weeks straight and then come home for 3 weeks.
And she was free for 3 weeks is when she really decided to experience life.
Brian says the couple grew apart.
There was arguing, bickering pretty much the whole time I'd be up there around them, but I didn't think it was anything.
But Brooks says it was the beginning of the end of their relationship. Candy was frustrated and lonely.
She's very vocal that she does not love him, that there's no love in this marriage.
Michelle says Candy had an affair and even planned plastic surgery.
She was just super excited.
And that's when Candy told Dan she was moving out and wanted a divorce. And she had started the process of buying a new house.
And I think she really felt that it would be okay.
By the end of January 2021, just days before her death, Candy met with a divorce lawyer. When Dan came home from work,
she just told him everything. And I think that point, I did get scared. She said he was fine. He wasn't fine.
No! Damn it!
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It never made sense to me. It never made sense.
When first responders examined Candy Howard's body in her bathtub, she had a gunshot wound to the back of her mouth, and her pistol was in the water. Dan Howard told everyone that Candy had taken her own life.
Were you buying that?
No, I couldn't see her leaving her kids and granddaughter.
When he learned his sister was dead, Brian rushed over to her house. He walked right up to Dan.
There was no emotion, he wasn't crying. I asked him if he'd ever hurt my sister, and he wouldn't look me in the eye and he said no.
Candy's friend Michelle was also certain Candy had not taken her own life.
Candy was not depressed. You don't think about doing plastic surgery. You don't go work out. You don't go to spin class.
But Carrie Maitland, Candy's neighbor, says Candy had been deeply unhappy. Months earlier, she says Candy told her about problems in her marriage.
She's just crying and crying and crying, and she's like, I don't even deserve to be here.
Carrie doesn't think there's any mystery about what happened in that bathroom.
I do believe that Candy committed suicide.
In the hours following Candy's death, Detective Jerry Northrup said he had questions about Dan Howard's version of events.
There's an order to things and a logical order. It did not make sense.
One thing that didn't make sense that night was the clothes dryer running when first responders entered the house. There were still 6 minutes showing on the display. So Northrup did some digging.
I went to the manufacturer's site, pulled up the specifics about the times for cycles, and then took that information and compared that against the time at which the 911 call was placed.
Dan, I need you to take a deep breath for me so we can get people headed to you.
And what do you learn?
That it was started within a minute of the 911 call.
Did your son shot himself?
Oh, my wife!
Your wife.
It suggested that he was doing actions like starting laundry, and rather than his claim that he was checking on Candy Howard and that he was inconsolable and upset, it didn't add up.
And there were other red flags for Detective Northrup.
Did you find any signs of a struggle, that there had been some sort of a physical confrontation between these two?
Yes, we did. Up in the master bedroom, we noted on the floor that there were pieces of broken glass.
And there was that question of the amount of blood in the bathtub.
With a wound to the head, that water would be much darker red-colored, right, from the blood.
Yes, sir. Based on my experience, that would be consistent. That the fact that there wasn't was inconsistent.
Inconsistent, suggesting it might not be a suicide.
Correct. Everything started directing us to the path that this was a staged crime scene.
Nothing about this case felt right from the beginning.
Detective Sergeant Ken Lalaton, now retired, was the lead investigator.
So, what happened tonight?
Marital problems. She wants a divorce one day, she doesn't the next. So, she brought home divorce papers, just preliminary ones. We just grew apart, I guess.
Lalaton says he quickly became convinced Dan was playing them.
I had the sense that Dan had a story that he had planned to share with us that evening. It felt very contrived.
Almost scripted in a way?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely scripted.
One example, Lalaton says, was Dan Howard telling him that Kendi had once put a gun to her head.
She put it to her head. It freaked me the out. And I thought, for sure, here we go. And I dropped the gun and shot through the floor.
Same gun?
Same gun.
Lalaton says Howard told him that after a heated argument that night over splitting their finances, Kendi went upstairs to take a bath. A short time later, Howard heard what he described as a thud.
Sound like something hit the floor or something, I don't know.
But he didn't investigate for more than an hour. That's when Howard says he found her dead in the tub.
How many times have you ever described a gunshot as a thud?
I don't think I've ever described a gunshot as a thud. I certainly would not expect someone who served in the Marine Corps, served approximately 20 years in law enforcement, someone who was a firearms instructor, someone who had been on their SWAT team. I think if anybody's going to know what the sound of a gunshot is from inside a residence, it's going to be Dan Howard.
As the morning came, Dan called his stepdaughter, Brooke, and told her the news.
No.
It didn't go well. Even though you can't hear her, Lalaton says he could hear Brooke shouting at Dan.
What? What are you talking about?
Who is that, Dan?
It's my daughter, Brooke.
She just accused you of this?
No.
That's just what it sounded like. Why would she do that, Dan? Why would she think you did this?
I haven't heard somebody that angry in a long time. I'll be honest with you, I was not expecting anything like that.
I was across the room and I could hear her.
Oh, I know.
She's angry.
Kids don't want to believe their moms would do that.
Not one time have I ever been to a suicide or even heard of one where one of the family members call and accuse her stepdad of murdering her mom. It was a very powerful moment. And I literally was able to see Dan Howard almost physically shrink down.
Like the walls are closing in.
Oh, 100%.
Dan, why does your daughter think you killed your wife?
What evidence sticks out to you from the scene of Kendi Howard's death? See more evidence from the case at 48hours.com.
In the early morning of February 3rd, 2021, Dan Howard's behavior continued raising the suspicions of Kootenai County detectives.
What? What are you talking about?
They had just overheard that phone call from his stepdaughter, Brooke, accusing him of killing her mother.
I'm hysterical. I'm crying pretty hard.
And you're believing that no way she shot herself.
Right. I tell him that I don't know what happened, but I know you did this.
What
because I got to tell you, that phone call put chills down my spine.
Detective Sergeant Ken Lalaton confronted Dan about Brooke's accusation.
You did it, didn't you, Dan?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think so, but now, after listening to that, I think you did, didn't you?
How the hell? She doesn't know. She wasn't here.
Within minutes, Dan Howard stopped responding to questions. Detectives were now very suspicious because, as an ex-cop, Howard had special skills.
Dan knows things that most normal people, ordinary people, don't.
Things like what?
Things like killing someone and staging it to look like a suicide.
But there wasn't enough physical evidence at the scene to arrest him. What's more, later that day, an autopsy was done, and the medical examiner concluded Kendi had died from that gunshot. Kendi's daughter, Brooke, was perplexed. She says her mother never took her gun out of the safe.
Mom never touched a gun. She wouldn't have used a gun. There's something not making sense here. And I'm so lost and confused because, you know, Dan's not arrested.
What Brooke didn't know was that the investigation was zeroing in on Dan Howard. Just hours after Kendi's death, Kootenai County prosecuting attorney Stan Mortensen was called in to consult with detectives. They pieced together a detailed timeline of the couple's relationship.
What did you learn about Dan Howard?
So we learned that Dan Howard was not the person that we thought he was. At home and behind closed doors, he was a different person.
Investigators focused in on an alarming incident Dan was involved in from 2013, when he was still a state trooper. Dan had found out Kendi was having an affair with a neighbor who also happened to be Dan's good friend. Enraged, Dan confronted him at his office.
He threatened to, his words were splatter his brains all over the walls.
Threatened to kill him.
Dan Howard was accused of repeatedly harassing the neighbor and eventually pleaded guilty to two felonies and served almost 4 months in jail in connection with that incident. He was allowed to resign from the Idaho State Police. After that, Kendi's friend Michelle says the couple's relationship seemed to change.
She was stuck to him like glue, just like glue, like hanging all over him. And she was never that way before. I think back going, was she scared?
In the years that followed, Michelle says Dan was controlling and quick to anger, especially when it came to Kendi's spending.
Dan never wanted to go do anything because that would spend money. I just don't think she was her full personality when he was around.
But when Dan was about to head back to Alaska for work,
she was totally a different person. I think she realized the more she was free, the more she loved life, and she didn't have to be under his thumb.
They continued to grow apart. Then Kendi told Michelle about an explosive argument just 7 months before her death.
She had hidden credit cards, and he found the bills, and that started that argument. He grabbed her and held her, and there was bruises on her neck and her. She sent me pictures. You could see them clear as day in the pictures. She just told me not to tell anybody.
Kendi never reported any kind of abuse from Dan to authorities.
How long had this physical abuse been going on? Do you have a sense?
We really don't know. It had been going on at least 6 months before she died.
Then, just 4 nights before Kendi Howard's death, deputies were called to the Howard home. Kendi's mother had asked for a welfare check after hearing a panicked Kendi on the phone.
Sheriff's office.
A visibly nervous Kendi answered the door.
You mind if we talk to you guys really quick?
Sounds fine to me.
All right.
Hours earlier, Kendi had picked Dan up at the airport, coming home from the oil fields of Alaska, and apparently upset him by saying she wanted a divorce. Kendi tells a deputy she needs to get something from the bedroom.
And so I can go?
Yeah, do you mind if I follow you?
That let the deputy speak with Kendi away from Dan.
Okay. I can't say what he was going to do.
Did it ever become physical?
think I woke up in time, so it wouldn't.
Okay. When you woke up, where was he?
Sent over.
Was he yelling? Was he arguing like a... Okay, so he's always kind of just that calm.
That's what's weird.
Okay, all right.
I know what I see, and I know what he was going to do.
Kendi, is this your bag as well?
No, that's his.
Okay.
The deputy helped Kendi leave the house, but investigators would later say they couldn't arrest Dan because Kendi never told deputies Dan had physically harmed her. Deputy prosecuting attorney Julia Schaffstall later learned that Kendi had told friends what had happened.
She wakes up in the early morning hours to Dan standing over her, wearing dark clothes, black latex gloves, a pillow in his hand, the look in his eyes. It was a look that she had never seen before, and that she wholeheartedly believed in that moment that he was going to kill her.
But later that day, Kendi returned home.
She told friends and family that he wasn't stupid enough to try something again, that she felt like she had some level of safety.
What's the tragedy in this case to you, the biggest tragedy of all?
That she was so close to getting out.
In text messages to Kendi, Dan Howard said it was all a misunderstanding and he was willing to work things out. But there were other signs he wasn't okay. The day before Kendi's death, her brother Brian took a long road trip with Dan.
He started asking me about who Kendi was having an affair with. And
Brian says Dan figured out Kendi was seeing the real estate agent who was helping her buy that new house near her hometown.
You could tell he was mad.
The next day, Kendi was dead. To prosecutors, the circumstantial evidence against Dan was adding up. After reviewing Kendi's autopsy and photos taken of Kendi's body, investigators discovered that, in fact, Kendi had multiple bruises all over her body.
Her body was riddled from head to toe with bruises and some lacerations.
And her jaw had been broken.
I believe that Kendi was beat severely by Dan.
So what really happened that night? The theory that Kendi's death scene could have been staged began to take on a new light.
She's in the bathtub.
Kendi did not die from a gunshot wound.
Wait, stop. She was shot, I understand, in the mouth. The bullet lodged in her vertebrae, and it didn't kill her?
Exactly. We believe that Kendi was already dead when she was shot.
Dan always had a level of control over Kendi. And I think by February 2nd, he had realized that that control was gone.
Weeks into the investigation, prosecutors believed the circumstantial evidence showed Kendi died at the hands of Dan Howard. But with the medical examiner's ruling that Kendi had died from a gunshot wound and no DNA evidence linking Dan to Kendi's gun, prosecutors faced challenges. So they called in other experts to take a second look at the evidence, including forensic pathologist Dr. Jennifer Nara.
I looked at the autopsy report, I reviewed all the photos, all the x-rays, the toxicology results. I did not agree with the original cause of death, that she died from a gunshot wound to the head.
Dr. Nara walked us through her analysis.
I looked at what the trajectory was, the path the bullet took inside Kendi's mouth. I thought that was unusual because it was going in a slightly downward direction. Typically, gunshot wound suicides, they go either straight back through the mouth or go slightly upward.
And can you demonstrate the path of this bullet?
I sure can. So I have a skull model here, and if you don't mind helping me out, and then I'm going to take this rod to show the direction that the bullet traveled through the mouth, through the tongue, and it tore through the tongue like a torpedo. It just went straight through the center of the tongue.
And would there have been a lot of blood?
Absolutely. It's going to bleed like crazy.
Because the heart is beating at the time that the bullet went through that tongue.
Exactly.
But when Dr. Nara reviewed the photos of the crime scene, She says she didn't see the amount of blood she would have expected to.
There was not enough blood.
And there were those bruises on Kendi's body and her broken jaw, which Dr. Nara says were sustained before Kendi had died.
Injuries that suggested a physical struggle of some sort.
Correct. She's got bruises throughout her body. She's got bruising on both sides of her neck, which is consistent with her being possibly choked.
What did you conclude?
I believe that Kendi Howard was already dead when she sustained that gunshot wound. So she was already strangled or choked to death. And when she was placed in the bathtub, she was already dead.
So then, how did Kendi die? Prosecutors say Dan Howard used a restraining technique he learned back in his days as a state trooper.
We believe that he utilized a technique known as a carotid restraint.
Show me how it works.
So what you would do is you'd place your arm around somebody's neck and head, and their chin is going to be in the crook of your elbow.
Prior to becoming an attorney, prosecutor Stan Mortensen had been a sheriff's deputy, and like Dan Howard, had been trained in administering the carotid restraint hold, rarely used as it cuts off blood flow to the brain.
If it's applied too long, it can cause death.
And that right there was our theory on how Dan killed Kendi.
It's an interesting theory, but you do concede it is a theory, right? No witness came forward to say that Dan told me he did this, or there's no physical evidence that proves that he did this, right?
Not the carotid restraint technique, correct, but Dan knew how to use this technique and taught other people how to use it. So we weren't just grabbing this theory out of thin air. This was something that Dan actually knew.
It took 2 years for the prosecutors to build their case. Finally, in April 2023, Dan Howard was charged with murder. He was also charged with domestic battery from that incident 7 months before Kendi's death, when she took those photos of her bruises and sent them to her friend Michelle. He pleaded not guilty and posted bail. Howard was ordered to wear an ankle monitor while he awaited trial. In March 2024, a clean-shaven Dan Howard went on trial. The judge ruled that any mention of Dan's previous criminal history or his 2011 killing of a woman during a traffic stop was forbidden.
You will turn now to opening statements. Sleeping on purpose.
In his opening statement, prosecutor Stan Mortensen said Dan and Kendi Howard had fought over finances that night. And it turned physical, with Dan bruising Kendi, breaking her jaw, then killing her with the carotid restraint hold. Then, he said, Dan Howard staged the scene by placing Kendi's body in the bathtub and shooting her.
Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence will come in and will demonstrate that this was not a suicide.
Evidence will show that Kendi died of asphyxiation. Evidence will show that Dan Howard is guilty of murder.
Mr. Johnson, you're okay?
Dan's lawyer, Jason Johnson, countered the state's claims by asserting that an emotionally troubled Kendi Howard had shot herself.
She is struggling with whether she wants to leave Dan.
He pointed out that Dan's DNA was not even on Kendi's gun.
The gun had Kendi's blood on it, but Dan's excluded.
And he dismissed the state's assertion there was a physical fight that night.
Kendi did not have any DNA under her fingernails. There were no defensive marks on Dan.
Johnson also said the investigators were all wrong about the lack of blood at the scene, pointing out that several hours had passed before some of the crime scene photographs of the bathtub had been taken and some of the water could have drained.
How much blood went down that drain?
Johnson attacked the prosecution's claim that Kendi was dead from asphyxiation before she was shot by calling that medical examiner who performed Kendi's original autopsy.
Your cause of death is gunshot wound?
That's my opinion.
More than a week into the proceedings, the trial recessed for a long weekend break. That night, prosecutors learned of a new, dramatic development that seemed to be right out of a television crime show. It seemed Dan Howard was making a run for it.
What do you think of the prosecution's theory of how Kendi Howard died? Chat now with the 48 Hours team on Facebook and X.
With his trial winding down, Dan Howard, who was out on bail with an ankle monitor, suddenly took off.
This was the great escape. He was hoping to get away.
He did it right after we finished with all of our evidence.
A deputy was tracking Howard that night.
You know, this is I-90 going 70 miles an hour. He abruptly took an exit and then got back on the highway, you know, looking in his rearview mirror, is somebody following me?
About an hour later, Howard made it to the Spokane International Airport.
But he's right there at the airport terminal.
Dan was taken out of the car. He was put into handcuffs.
Howard claimed he had gone there to help a friend return a rental car, not to make a run for it.
And I think it's possible that he was going to cut the ankle monitor off, leave it in his car, and then drive away in another rental car.
Instead, Howard's drive was a short one, back to a jail cell in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. His bail was revoked. Days later, the prosecution made closing arguments.
Ladies and gentlemen, the state has shown you this was not suicide, because a dead person cannot shoot themselves in the mouth.
The jury was not told about Howard's escape attempt. Dan Howard's defense attorney insisted that Kendi took her own life.
The scene is consistent with suicide.
And that Howard did not have the skills to stage a murder scene.
There's no evidence that he worked as a detective, no evidence that he had any sort of homicide training, no evidence of the knowledge of staging a scene.
Have you in fact reached a verdict?
After 10 days of trial, 62 witnesses, and just over 8 hours of deliberations, the jury reached a verdict.
Is the defendant, Daniel Howard, guilty or not guilty of second-degree murder? Guilty.
I cried. There was, I think I gasped that there was crying and...
And did you look at Dan?
I'm looking at him, and as he turns, there's no expression. There's no look of remorse.
Dan had shown no emotion. But 2 months later, at his sentencing, he begged the judge for leniency.
I love my wife, and I miss her. And I'm not that monster, I assure you, that people are portraying me to be. Kenny and I had 28 years together and raised a family and had mostly a good marriage and a good life. But I'm not that animal that they portrayed me. It is not my intention to anger the court or disrespect the process that I used to believe in. But Your Honor, is about
a
sentence
in
this man
in
prison.
Thank you, Mr.
But the judge wasn't moved.
What we know, beyond a reasonable doubt, is that you strangled your wife, you murdered her, and then you staged her naked body in the bathtub, shot her through the mouth, and tried to pass this off as a suicide. You killed a mother, you killed a grandmother, you killed a sister. You snuffed that out because of your own pride, greed, and anger.
Pride, greed, and anger, said the judge, but others kept coming back to the word control.
To me, this case was about a man who thought that he could control a woman, and if he couldn't get his way, he was going to force it.
All rise.
I cried. It's such a relief that people got to hear what actually happened.
Kenley Wilkins and Kendi's granddaughter.
And what do you have in front of you here?
Chickens.
Brooke's daughter, Kenley, was just 8 when her beloved grandmother was murdered. Now 12, she treasures these glass chickens that her grandma collected.
Do you feel a connection to your grandmother when you see these?
Yeah.
She had a china hutch?
Yeah, a china hutch. It was just full of chickens, so I'd always just kind of like look how many different colors there were.
Pretty cool, grandma. You loved her, didn't you? What's the hardest thing for you?
Probably her smile.
It's tough, isn't it?
I want justice for Kendi. What I hope they get from the story, that you don't have to live like this. I wish I could have stopped it. I'm still shocked that we're still talking about domestic violence and that sometimes you can't do anything.
Dan Howard was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. If you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233.
Join me Tuesday for Postmortem from 48 Hours, where we'll dive even deeper into today's episode and answer your questions about the case.